I am Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us today. We pray that today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks will be a half hour of hope for your life as we continue our series of praying the Psalms.
Yeah, we're going to kind of kick back in the same direction that we left off last, Grayson. We've been going through some of the Psalms of the Old Testament. And the idea is not just to read the Psalms, but to pray the Psalms. And we hope today you will be inspired in some way to take the Word of God as your very own. And what I have learned is the Word of God is a real gift to us. I mean the written Word of God. Certainly Jesus is the Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. But also the written Word of God is a gift to us as well. And so I pray that something we say, or maybe some thought that enters your mind during this broadcast, will cause you to open the Word of God up as your very own. Maybe it's been a while since you spent much time in God's love letter, the Holy Bible. And I pray that today might be a new day when you go back to the Word of God, or maybe for the first time you go to the Word of God, and you begin to read it as if the Word has been written to you. Because I really believe that the Word is ageless. It is eternal. The Scripture even says that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will not pass away. So His Word, while some people believe it's not relevant in the contemporary times we live in, we know and believe that the Word of God is relevant for all times. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will make that truth come alive in your spirit today. And also you will know that there is hope in the Word of God. We're going to pick up kind of where we left off. We were in Psalm 68 when we last recorded. And so today we're going to kind of go back there. I'm just going to pick up on the three verses I left off with so we can kind of get a running start into today's broadcast. Psalm 68, verses 1 through 3, God's Word translation of the Holy Bible. Rise up, O God, and scatter your enemies. Let those who hate God run for their lives. Blow them away like smoke, melt them like wax in a fire. Let the wicked perish in the presence of God. But let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy. Now here's the reality of God's presence. We either live in it or we die in it. There's no in between. And the only way we can live in the presence of God is to have the Holy Spirit, the presence of God Himself, living within us. We cannot survive in the holy presence of God apart from His holiness. And the only way we can have His holiness is through right relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father by the Holy Spirit. And this is offered to us. We do not have to live in wickedness or unbelief. We can live in holiness and trust in God. And if we do this, then we can know that in His presence we find life eternal. We are not destroyed in His presence, but we find delight and we find life everlasting. Grayson, when you think about this idea that we can be glad in God's presence because Jesus has died on the cross and made a relationship way for us to know God in His righteousness, what kind of thoughts come through your mind when you think about the gladness of living in His presence rather than the sadness of perishing in His presence?
Yeah, Dad, as you were talking, some of the thoughts that came to my mind were about how when we read this passage, those who are living in God's presence and who have God, Jesus Christ, living in us, this should give us hope. This should give us joy. We have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about, because we have eternity to look forward to. But it's sad news for those who don't know Him, which should also motivate us to share this good news that we have in our lives with those who don't have Him, so that they won't have to go through this sadness or this pain in their lives when they pass away.
And so, Grayson, we want to make sure that we live in His presence here now. And then when we pass the line of worlds and we go into eternity, we will also live in His presence for forever. And He offers that invitation to everyone. I mean, all of us have had our wickedness, our lostness, our unrighteousness, our lack of belief. But God has wooed us to Himself to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness and to give to us His presence as life. And so I pray today that anyone who might be listening to this idea of the presence of God, that you will know that you are included in the invitation to live rightly in His presence through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that will give you life when you are in His midst, not death, and life everlasting. The next part of Psalm 68, I'll begin with verse 4. It says, "Sing praises to God and to His name. Sing loud praises to Him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in His presence." So here we have this idea again that we have the ability, through what Jesus has performed on Calvary, given of His life for ours, we now have the ability to actually rejoice in the presence of God. We don't have to be fearful in His presence. We should be reverent in His presence. But when His presence begins to show itself to us, when He comes in His unique presence, we can rejoice in that rather than to be afraid. And the idea is that He is our God, and when we praise Him, we prove to be those who are in right relationship with Him. We praise His name. We sing loud praises to Him who rides the clouds. Think about this. Our God riding the clouds. And His name is the Lord, and He's our Lord. And we rejoice in His presence. My mind goes to the very time when Jesus was crucified. And He was crucified between two criminals, one to His left, one to His right. And one of the criminals, before Jesus died, he really turned his heart toward Jesus. And he simply said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." Now for me, what was going on there was this man who was dying in his sins looked to the one who was dying for his sins. And he said to Jesus, "You're my Lord." When he said, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom," a Lord has a kingdom. A king has a kingdom. And so he was saying, "I want you to be my Lord." And so I believe in that moment that that criminal who called out to Jesus humbly but confidently, that when he was on the other side of this life, he and Jesus were walking together in life everlasting. And so he was in the presence of Jesus while Jesus was being crucified. And I believe that on the other side of the veil, he was also in the presence of God when Jesus was being glorified. And this gives us hope in knowing that it could be down to our last breath and we can call on the name of the Lord. We don't want to wait till our last breath. I know the criminal would say, "Don't wait to come to Christ in the 11th hour of your life. Come to Him early in life." But it is hopeful to know that as long as we're breathing, we can call out to Jesus as the criminal did. And he simply said with a profound faith, "Remember me, Jesus, when you come in your kingdom." And so he was calling him Lord. And in this passage, in Psalm 68 and verse 14, it says, "His name is the Lord, my Lord, and I can rejoice in his presence." Grayson, anything that I've said may have triggered some thoughts in your heart. Just share those now.
Well, when you were talking about how he wants us to rejoice in his presence and to be glad in his presence, not to be afraid. Yes, we should honor him and we should respect him, but he wants to have a loving relationship with us. He wants to have a relationship like a father and son would have, where we can come to him and share our thoughts with him, and where we want to spend time with him, spend time in his presence, and grow in our relationship with him. And certainly he wants no one to perish, but everyone to have eternal life. Like you were talking about the thief on the cross, how he even won him over on the cross in the 11th hour of his life. Now, he doesn't, like you said, he doesn't want us to wait that long, and those who have waited that long would tell us like the thief on the cross, but he loves us, he pursues us, Up until the very end of our life, he pursues us because he loves us that much. And the Father loves us so much that he sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we can have eternal life. He provided a way, and that way is Jesus Christ. And that should give us hope today and make us not want to wait, not to wait to accept him, and not to wait to share him with others, share the good news of Jesus Christ with others.
Exactly. And it's in this moment that we call now that we want to really call on Jesus. We don't want to wait till later. We want to call on him now. And that really is an inspiring thought. It moves me to verse 18, really. I'm going to jump from Psalm 68 and verse 4 over to verse 18. And here's what the psalmist says of God. When you ascended to the heights. Now you remember earlier that he is the God who rides the clouds. So verse 18 is accenting that. When you ascended to the heights, you led a crowd of captives. You received gifts from the people, even from those who rebelled against you. Now here's the word I was just talking about. Now the Lord God will live among us there. This is a beautiful picture. When I hear this idea of God living among us, it really tells me what God really desires more than anything. You know, when his people, Israel, were in the Old Testament and they were in the wilderness for 40 years, God told them to build a tabernacle and to build a holy of holies. And the idea was that God wanted them to build a house for him so he could come and live among them, live where they lived. And God so longs to live with us, to live among us. This is the whole purpose of life for God, is to get us to live with him and him to live with us. And so right now, you know, we're still on planet Earth, and Jesus lived here for 33 years. And when he left his Holy Spirit to dwell, to live here. And so we have the presence of God with us here. But one day we are going to go and live with him in his home. Until then, he's made his home with us temporarily. But we have an eternal home that will last forever. We will live among God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one. We will live with the Trinity, and it will be forever. But now the Lord God lives among us. It's a beautiful phrase here in verse 18. I love these words together. I want to repeat them again. Now the Lord God will live among us. So now is very important. We talked earlier about now being the time to call on Jesus. Not to wait till the last minute, like the thief on the cross did, that criminal who called out at the very end. I mean, if you're at the very end of your life, call out to Jesus. Don't call out to anyone else, because no one else will be able to help you. Call on his mercy. The scripture says his mercy endures forever. But I'm saying that the present is when we want to know the presence of Jesus. The present. You know, his name is I Am. In the Old Testament, God identified himself to Abraham and the great patriarchs as I Am. I am that I am. He said this in the Old Testament. And the idea is that I Am means I am a present God. I shared recently this idea that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It doesn't say he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It says, I am the God. He is the God. In other words, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive in his presence now. They have crossed the line of worlds. They've gone from earth to eternity. They are very much in the presence of God. So God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of now. He is God of present time. And so we will always seek him now, because he is a very present God. The scripture even says in Psalm 46, in verse 1, God actually speaks to us through the psalmist. He says these words, I am a very present help in time of trouble. That means presently, if we're in trouble, then he is a very present God. He is available and we just call on him. So it is beautiful that the criminal in that moment that was his now, it was at the end of his life, but it was his present moment. And it was the first time he had come face to face with Jesus, perhaps. And in that moment, he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And so in that moment, in that present moment, he called on Jesus. So right now, we want to call on Jesus, you know, in the present moment. We don't want to wait till later. And Grayson accented that beautifully a moment ago, but it took me to verse 18 and takes me to verse 19 now. Praise the Lord, praise God our Savior, for each day He carries us. He carries us in His arms. Now, this is Old Testament in the Psalms. We know that since Pentecost, when God now has put His presence not in a tabernacle made of wood or cloth or animal skins, but now He has put His presence in us. And so it's more than Him carrying us in His arms now. He actually carries us from within. He lives within us. He is like the engine in an automobile. We are the automobile. He is the engine. He is our power within us now. So this scripture gets even better in the New Testament. In the Old, it says, praise the Lord, praise God our Savior, for each day He carries us in His arms. But now, Grayson, He carries us even more intimately. He is one with us, and we are one with Him. He lives with us, but He lives mainly within us. So when you think about some of this terminology, where does that lean the truths in your mind?
Well, Dad, you started out by talking about how He wanted the people to build a tabernacle so that He could come and live amongst them. Well, that tabernacle that He wants us to build today is in our hearts and our own lives so that He can come and dwell with inside of us. And so that's also why the Bible says, if two or three gather in My name, I am there. Well, if two or three believers, you know, then certainly His presence will show up. And even I believe if we're alone and we ask Him to come and meet us, He is there because He's living in our lives. He's living in our hearts. And certainly He wants to have close communion with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. He desires that, and He desires for us to desire to have fellowship with Him also.
Exactly. God loves to be present with those that He loves, and certainly He has loved the whole world. It says, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that classic verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. He loves us, and He longs to be present with us. As I said earlier, with His people of Israel, He wanted to be with them. He didn't want to be distant. He wanted to be present. And you know, some people want God to be distant from their lives, often because they're living in darkness. The New Testament says that they prefer darkness to light. Well, certainly we don't want to be that way. Who in the world would prefer darkness to light? I mean, I don't like darkness. We live in the Shenandoah Valley. There are a lot of caverns, and you can take these beautiful tours through these caverns, and I've done that a few times with Grayson when he was in school, and my daughter Allison, go on a field trip, you know, and go into the caverns, and occasionally, what they would do, they'd get you down the bottom of the cavern, and the guide would say, I'm going to put you in cave darkness. And he'd go over to some light switch that only he knew about and would cut the light switch off and leave us in darkness. I mean, you could not see the hand in front of your face. Who in the world would prefer living in darkness to living in light? But the New Testament tells us that this is true. We want to live in His presence because His presence is light. And we want Him to come and cleanse us, to clean us from our wickedness and our dark ways of living, and to make us children of light, not children of darkness. And He certainly does want to be with us. He wants to carry us. He wants His presence to be present with us nonstop. And that's a beautiful, beautiful point, Grayson, that He totally wants us to be with Him, and we want to return that same desire and desire His presence always with us. I'm going to roll over a few chapters now. I'm going to go to Psalm 69. I should have said I'm going to roll over a few verses now to Psalm 69. And I want to go to verse 16 that is kind of moving in my Bible when I was reading it. I wrote out some things beside it on the margin of my Bible. In Psalm 69 and verse 16, listen to these words. Answer my prayer, O Lord, for Your unfailing love is wonderful. Take care of me, for Your mercy is so plentiful. Don't hide from Your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in deep trouble. Come and redeem me. Free me from my enemies. And so what I wrote beside those verses are these words. Your love, O God, my God, is unfailing and wonderful. Take care of me. Your mercy is vast. So we were talking just a moment ago about how God loves us. And because he loves us, he wants to be present with us. And so we know that his unfailing love is wonderful. We can echo amen to the words of the psalmist. We know that he wants to take care of us. We know that his mercy is plentiful. And he does not want to hide from us. He wants to be present with us, not distant from us. And this has just come to my mind, this new sentence that I'm saying over and over, that do we prefer distance from God or present with God? I pray that we prefer his presence because God has no desire to hide from us. He wants to answer us, and he actually wants to help us stay out of trouble. He doesn't just want to hear from us when we're in deep trouble, as the psalmist said. However, if we are in deep trouble, we call out to him, and we can believe that he will come. He will redeem us. He will buy us back from the trouble that has bought us, and he will free us from our enemies. So all of this deals with really the presence of God, because only the presence of God changes us. Only the presence of God saves us. Only the presence of God can redeem us. And so I'm crying out for his presence, Grayson. What thoughts are you having?
Yes, God wants us to come to him. He wants us to cry out to him, but he doesn't just want us to cry out to him in times of trouble. Certainly we can do that, but he wants us to come to him in good times as well as in times of trouble. So we should always be relying on him no matter what our circumstance, no matter what we're going through in life, whether it be good or bad.
So true, Grayson. It's all true. And I'm glad that you're helping to articulate it from your point of view, because it's really confirming my point of view and affirming the feelings that I have in my heart. We're going to move a little bit further into chapter 69. I want to move over to verse 32. Verse 32 says, "The humble will see their God at work and be glad. Let all who seek God's help be encouraged. For the Lord hears the cry of the needy. He does not despise his imprisoned people. Praise him, O heaven and earth, the seas and all that move in them. For God will save Jerusalem." Now this idea of Jerusalem means those who belong to God. Jerusalem is God's city. And we have been grafted into this idea of Jerusalem. We are now part of who he is because of what he accomplished in Jerusalem. He accomplished salvation, sanctification, even glorification when he gave his life on that old rugged cross. Where at? Jerusalem, just outside the walls of that city. And so we're incorporated into Jerusalem because Jesus took us there with himself. When he went to die on Calvary, the songwriter said, "When Jesus was on the cross, I was on his mind." And that is so true. And so we read these words, "For God will save Jerusalem and rebuild the towns of Judah. His people will live there and settle in their own land. The descendants of those who obey him will inherit the land, and those who love him will live there in safety." Now, I gave the whole passage there from verse 32 to verse 36, and I made a little comment about Jerusalem to know that we can claim Jerusalem as our own. I've been to Jerusalem about 14 visits now, I believe. And I never feel more at home on anywhere on the planet than in Jerusalem. And it's because that's my spiritual foundation. It's the place where Jesus came and redeemed me, bought me back from the trouble that had stolen me from his presence. And so I love that part about Jerusalem. But verse 32 is where I really want us to focus as we conclude this program today. "The humble will see their God at work and be glad. Let all who seek God's help be encouraged." Grayson, I wrote in the margin of my Bible alongside Psalm 69, verse 32, these words: "Be humble, see God, be glad." You can grab onto any of those and just share your thoughts.
Well, Dad, I was thinking about how he is glad about the humble who are at work, and that's because we're at work for him. We're relying on him and not our own strength. And we're also giving him the glory, not trying to get the glory for ourselves. Or some of the thoughts that I had when you were reading that and how he is refreshed by their works. And also the next verse, I just wanted to say one thing about that. Verse 33, about how he looks out and listens to the needy. If we're going through a hard time in our life, we can know that God's not silent, that He is still looking out for us even in hard times. And so we just need to humble ourselves and to rely on Him, and He will work in our lives and work for us and for the good of us, for His good and for our future, for our best. He has our best in mind, and we should never forget that.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more with those words. And so my prayer today, as we close this edition of Front Porch Talks, my prayer is that I would be humble, that I would see God, and I would be glad. And His presence causes all of that to be my reality. And so today, my prayer for you is that you will be humble in His presence, that you will see God at work in your life, and that you will be glad that you have been redeemed, that He has brought you back from trouble and sin, and that you belong to Him. We pray that today's broadcast has been a half hour of hope for your life. We'll leave you with just a little bit of music. God bless.
The song that we have for you today is our friend Jim Cole singing his song, Light of the World.
Light of the world, my heart is yours. I long to serve you as my Lord. I long to walk in your ways. I long to know you. You are a refuge for my soul, a river of life where healing flows, a giver of sight to the blind. Steps with your eyes, leading me homeward. All that I am or hope to be is a kind of a friend you've been to me, faithful in all of your ways. I worship you. Light of the world, my eyes. Light to the world.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.